Heavenly Father, on this beautiful Lord's Day, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness. We thank you for seeing us through another week. We pray now that you would meet with us in these few moments here, that we might allow you to fill our hearts and lives to overflowing with your presence and your love and grace, that we might go out into the world and share that love and grace with those who need it so badly. Meet with us now and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing "To God Be the Glory."
Father, through Jesus the Son.
worship folder is our responsive reading. It comes from Psalm 136, selected verses. I invite you to join with me. It's also up here. Either way, take your pick. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His faithful love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
His faithful love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His faithful love endures forever.
Give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles.
His faithful love endures forever.
Give thanks to him who made the heavens so skillfully.
His faithful love endures forever.
Give thanks to him who placed the earth on the water.
His faithful love endures forever.
Give thanks to him who made the heavenly lights.
His faithful love endures forever.
The sun to rule by day.
His faithful love endures forever.
The moon and the stars to rule the night.
His faithful love endures forever.
He remembered our utter weakness.
His faithful love endures forever.
He saved us from our enemies.
His faithful love endures forever.
He gives food to every living thing.
His faithful love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
His faithful love endures forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated, but the children, please come forward.
Sit down while I'm in.
All right, the next two Sundays, we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving. Now, we know that Thanksgiving, we like to eat, right?
Amen.
We even ate Thanksgiving last night, didn't we? We had turkey and dressing and mashed potatoes and green beans. It's good stuff. Look at this stuff. I know you don't like potatoes. Sit down.
Well, I love them.
All right. But the most... No, they don't have mushrooms in them. The most important thing about Thanksgiving is just the word thanks. Things that we need to think about in our lives that we are thankful for.
Word.
Yeah, another knows words. So what I've got today is my top 10 list of things to be thankful for. How's that sound? Number 10, at the bottom of the list, is home. I am very thankful that I have a home. We have so many people in this world who are living on the streets or in their cars or under bridges, and I'm very thankful that I have a home to live in. The next one, I'm thankful I've got food. How about you, Abel? Are you thankful you got food to eat? No? Okay. We'll see about that in about 30 minutes when he's starving to death. I'm thankful that I have clothes to wear, and I don't have to worry about it. In fact, I've got so many clothes that there's no way I can wear all of them. Number 7, I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful that I can get up and go to work every day. I'm thankful that I can spend time with you guys because my health allows me to do that. I'm thankful that I live in America. We have so many wonderful things and so many freedoms in this country that other people are not allowed to have. And then number 5, Miss Bailey, this is a good one for you. I'm thankful for teachers. Not just because I am one, but I'm thankful for teachers in my life, both Sunday school teachers and school teachers, Mom, Miss Hood, that have helped make me who I am. And then number 4, I'm thankful for friends. Friends that I see every day and friends that I just see once in a while.
but I'm thankful that God has blessed my life. And number three, I'm very thankful for my family. Yeah. My mom, my daughters, my grandchildren, and all of you that are part of my Christian family. Number two, I'm very thankful for the parents that I had, that I do have, for bringing me up in God's house and teaching me what was right and what's wrong. But my number one thankful list is my Jesus Christ, my Savior. If he had not made that ultimate sacrifice for each of us, there would be no hope for tomorrow and nothing else to be thankful for. So I'm very thankful that Jesus is my Savior. So in the next couple of weeks, I want you all to start telling Gigi and telling this church what you're thankful for, okay? Got that? Let's bow our heads. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you for all the blessings that we have in life. And the list of 10 is only a small list. There's no way that we could possibly thank you enough for everything that you have done for us. But accept this today, our thanks. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ms. Terry. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God? Yes, continue praying for Dan. He had a hip replacement this week, doing relatively well. I saw a picture of the new hip. Maybe if you ask Carson real nice, she'll show you too. But he's good for another 50,000 miles. Also, I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that the election is over and done with. Now, whether or not you like the way it turned out, folks, it's over. Yes, and that's a great thing. And I'm thankful to be a part of a country where if people don't like it, they can protest. I don't necessarily agree with all of them and what they're doing and what they're saying. I'm wondering how many of those people that are protesting actually voted to try to change it one way or the other. I'm wondering how many of them were that active before the election trying to get it done their way. But we're living in a country where that is perfectly legal and allowed as long as they don't get too carried away, and I'm thankful for that. Any other joys and concerns?
My sister in Carmel, Indiana, is having a partial knee replacement tomorrow. So appreciate your prayers for her. Janet is her name.
You tell her that she has our blessings and our prayers. I can relate. Yes.
This little red truck, so I could come to church.
Wonderful. Great. All right. Do be in prayer for all of our leaders, current, elected, all of them. If you don't like them, pray for them. If you do like them, pray for them, okay? Regardless of who got elected president, during the next 4 years, half of the country is going to be on their back. And folks, when you've got 185 million people on your back, it's hard to move very fast, very far. So do be in prayer for all of our leaders. As music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we give you thanks and praise for your goodness, for watching over us, for bringing us through this past week with all of its ups and downs, with the pain, with the uncertainties, with the frustrations, for bringing us into this brand new week. We pray now that you would help each one of us, that we might learn to be a thankful people, a people who is appreciative of all of your blessings to us, a people who are thankful for all of those who were willing to give their lives, either in an instant or day by day over the years, that we might enjoy all of these freedoms that we have here in the United States of America. We pray that you would help us, that we might realize how blessed we are. Lord, we've said it before, and we'll say it again. Those of us in this room today are among the top 5% of the richest people in the world. And yet, continually, we focus on what we don't have, what we wish we had, what our neighbors have that we don't. We pray that you would help us, that we might be eternally thankful and grateful for all of your blessings to us. We pray that you would remind us, Lord, that we are so precious in your sight, as is everyone else on the face of this earth. Remind us, Lord, that you loved us individually so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross to pay the price for our sins. Remind us that that love reaches out to everybody, regardless of their political party, regardless of their race or gender or age, regardless of orientations, regardless of philosophies, every single one are your children. Every single one are included in that whosoever would, that whosoever would believe might have eternal life. Help us that we might be that inclusive in our minds and hearts about our. Thank you, Lord, for caring so much for us. Help us in these coming days and weeks and months that we might seek to make America great again, not because of politics, but because we remember that we are indeed one nation under God. May we show that to our neighbors. May we show that to our world. May we reflect your loving compassion everywhere. Be with those today who are hurting, those who are healing, those who have gone through surgical procedures, those, Lord, who are going through uncertain times about their health and well-being. Remind them that you're with them. Be with those today who are going through emotional distress. May they feel your comfort and peace. We pray today that you'd be with our troops everywhere. Watch over them and keep them safe. Be with their families, Lord. Be with all of our first responders, police, fire department, EMT, medical staffs. Thank you, Lord, for their dedication and commitment to our well-being. We pray now that you would help us, that we might keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, not on Washington, not on the stock market, but on Jesus Christ, the same one who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would the ushers please come forward? Heavenly Father, for all of your wonderful gifts to us, we give you thanks and praise. We pray now that you would bless these, our gifts to you, for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we sing, Count Your Blessings.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done.
See what God has done.
Today's scripture reading comes from the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, verses 1 through 11. This letter is from Paul, appointed by God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our dear brother Timothy. We are writing to God's church in Corinth and to all the Christians throughout Greece. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you his grace and peace. All praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of every mercy and the God who comforts us. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. You can be sure that the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. So when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your benefit and salvation. For when God comforts us, it is so that we in turn can be an encouragement to you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in suffering, you will also share God's comfort. I think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and completely overwhelmed, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we learned not to rely on ourselves, but on God who can raise the dead. And he did deliver us from mortal danger, and we are confident that he will continue to deliver us. He will rescue us because you are helping by praying for us. As a result, many will give thanks to God because so many people's prayers for our safety have been answered. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Yeah. and safely. Bring us through.
All right, it's your turn. What are you thankful for? We got problems. Thankful for your young wife and living in this great country. Yes. Great. Family, grandchildren,
church,
our community,
family,
relatives, good health, prayer warriors, undeserved blessings, freedom of religion. And remember, folks, side comment here, our nation was founded on the principle of freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. Separation of church and state was meant to keep the government out of religion, not keep religion out of the government. Okay? For the choir, yes. For our musicians. Yeah. Yeah, they're not all here, but we're thankful for them. Thank you. Amen. And on we could go. If you haven't read your list yet in your worship folder, go ahead and read it now. You have a few minutes to do that. Let me share some things with you this morning. I am thankful for. First of all, let me propose to you that we should be thankful for who God is. As David read our scripture this morning from 2 Corinthians 1, it says, God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. We should be thankful for him, first of all, because he is God. Psalm 103 says, know that the Lord, he is God. William Law died in 1761. Listen to what he said. Would you know who is the greatest saint in the world? It is not the one who prays the most or fasts the most, not the one who gives the most or is known foremost in temperance, chastity, or justice, but it is the one who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God wills, who receives everything as God's goodness and is always ready to praise God for it. Back from 1618 to 1648, the 30-year war had devastated parts of Europe. Many political and military refugees sought refuge in the walled city of Eilenburg. Because there are so many people cramped into such a small space with so few provisions, many died from famine, disease, and the invading armies. Thousands of people died. There was only one minister left in that city, and that was Martin Rinker. There were days when he held 40 to 50 funerals. In the course of his ministry, he held over 4,000 funerals. He still found time to write 7 dramas and over 66 hymns. At least one of his hymns we still sing, at least annually, in the church. Now remember, this is in the midst of holding 40 or 50 funerals a day. Funerals for children, for family, for friends. He penned the words, "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things have done, in whom his world rejoices." An attitude of thankfulness in the midst of all of that that was going on. We should be thankful because God sent Jesus. We all know John 3:16, say it with me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We should be thankful because we have a God of mercy. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We should be thankful for God's comfort. Now, when we say God's comfort, we're not talking about God just kind of patting us on the head and saying, there, it's okay. In Latin, it is cum forte. Now, cum, when someone graduates cum laude, it means they're graduating with honors or with recognition. Cum means with. Terry, in music, when it says forte, what does it mean? Loud or strong, with strength, right? Cum forte means with strength. God is great. God is good. No matter what's going on in our lives, God is going to be there with strength for you and me to see us through whatever it may be. Suppose you are going through some financial difficulties. I don't know if any of you have ever been there before or not. I've worked almost half a century for a nonprofit or organization, and sometimes it has been. But no, churches have always been good down through the years. I have no complaints there. Back when I was a freshman in college, I was hitchhiking over the North Georgia mountains, and a gentleman from England picked me up. And he asked what I did, and I told him I was in college, and what are you studying for? And I said, "I'm studying for the ministry." And he says, "Why do you want to go into the ministry? There's no money there." Duh. I said, "I feel like God has called me to preach." "Oh, you're going to be a clergyman." When I said going into ministry, he thought that like the ministry of labor or the ministry of finance or the ministry of education, he thought politics. Shows how much those English people know about where the money is, doesn't it? Well, anyway, suppose you were going through some financial difficulties and you'd prayed to God about it, and there was a knock on your door, and you opened up the door, and here was Bill Gates standing there. And Bill Gates handed you a check with his signature on it and your name on it, but the amount was not filled out. And he said, "You go ahead and fill it in for whatever it is you need." Yeah, like that's going to happen. But, folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, that's what God does for you and me. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to get rich. It doesn't mean God's going to give us everything we want. But it does mean that God will supply all that we need. You remember when Moses had his encounter with God at the burning bush? In the King James Version, when Moses said, "Okay, when I go to the Israelites in Egypt and I tell them, God has sent me, Who am I going to say? Because there were a lot of gods that were available. And God said, you tell them that I am sent you. I am that I am. What God was really saying there was, tell them that I am here. As we read through the New Testament, Jesus was continually telling the people, to those who were hungry, he was saying, I am the bread of life. To those who were thirsty, I am the living water. To those who were blind, I am the light of the world. To those facing with or dealing with death, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. God will be for you and me whatever it is we need for God to be. When we're ailing, God is a great physician. When we're lost, God is a good shepherd. When we feel spiritually empty, God is our high priest. I don't know about you, but I've had times when God seemed very far away. You ever had times like that? I think we all have. I heard a story one time about an older couple. I used to say an elderly couple, and now that I'm getting close, I try to temper my words a little bit. But an older couple was driving down the road one day when a sports car came sailing by them, past them. And in the sports car, it looked like there were two people, but it looked like both of them were sitting in the same bucket seat. The woman looked over at her husband. She says, honey, do you remember when we used to sit that close? The husband never took his eyes off the road. He says, I didn't move. If God seems far away, who moved? You get the idea. Okay? Number two, we should give thanks for all that God does. Part of our scripture this morning said, this letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, and from our brother Timothy. I'm writing to God's church in Corinth to tell all his holy people throughout Greece. May God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and a source of all comfort. He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. Now, we need to realize that it doesn't matter how close we're living to God, God does permit trials to come. Mrs. Monroe lived with her family in Darlington, Maryland. She had 8 children. There's an incident in her life that was mentioned in a book by John Haggai entitled How to Win Over Worry. It said that one day she came home from the grocery store. She walked in the front door, and everything seemed normal, but it was much too quiet. Now, when you've got 8 children, that's a reasonable assumption, okay? You don't expect it to be quiet. She set down the groceries and she walked into the living room. And there in the middle of the living room floor were 5 of her children sitting in a circle. And as she walked over and looked, she saw that they were playing with 5 little, cute, cuddly baby skunks. She was terrified. And she said, run, children, run! Each child grabbed a skunk and ran in 5 different directions. She screamed even louder, and it scared the children so much that they squeezed their skunk. And as the writer put it, skunks don't like to be squeezed. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when it seems like we're trying our hardest to do the right thing, that life stinks? That ties in, doesn't it? Life puts a squeeze on all of us. Often we think that if we just believe in God, if we just try to live the right kind of life, that all of our troubles will go away. But if that were indeed the case, people would turn to God out of a desire just to be relieved of pain and not out of their love for God or their realization of their need for God. Undeniably, one of the most beautiful sounds in the whole world is that of the first cry of a newborn baby. It brings tears to the parents and the grandparents. Everyone rejoices except for the newborn. Think with me now. For that baby, it's a cry of distress. After 9 months of warm security and solitude, all of that is stripped away in an instant as a child goes through the trauma of birth and being cast into a cold, blinding, loud world. That innocent gift from heaven, in that moment, experiences more sensory overload than any of the rest of us will go through in our entire lives. Ashlyn Blocker was a toddler. One day, her parents noticed that when she touched a hot pressure washer, she didn't pull her hand away, she didn't jump back. She just watched as her hand became red and blistered. Tests later showed that Ashlyn could not feel pain. Now, at first, those of us who are aging, which is every one of us who are breathing at this moment, might say, boy, that'd be great. No more headaches, no more arthritis, no more rheumatism, no more lumbago, none of those things. Wouldn't have to worry about which pain reliever I'm going to take tonight. There's a disease that makes its victims immune to pain. It's called Hansen's disease. Those who are afflicted with that disease feel no pain at all. If they get a cut or an injury, it doesn't hurt. They're not even aware that it happened. And consequently, all too often, further complications set in because the injury doesn't receive treatment. And people with Hansen's disease very often will lose fingers, arms, legs, or other parts of their body. Now, Hansen's disease is in the Bible, but it's referred to there as leprosy. God will comfort us as long as you and I realize that comfort doesn't always mean being totally relieved of stress or pain. It can also mean receiving strength, encouragement, and hope to deal with the troubles. The more we suffer, the more comfort God gives. If we feel overwhelmed, we should allow God to comfort us. God will give us the comfort that we need in order that we then might be able to comfort others that are going through hard times. We need to realize, B, that God is in control of trials. Verse 9 says, in fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves. We learned to rely only on God, who raises the dead. In Romans chapter 8, it says, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from his love. Death can't and life can't. The angels can't and the demons can't. Our fears for today and our worries about tomorrow and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, God enables us to bear our trials. There in verse 9 that we just read. D, God sometimes will deliver us, sometimes will deliver us from our trials. Verse 10 says, and he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. But God doesn't always choose to deliver you and me in the same way from our trials that maybe he did someone else. You remember that Peter was released from prison by divine intervention. James got out of prison also after he was beheaded. But they were both delivered. God is glorified through our trials. Verse 11 of our text today says, "And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety." Occasionally we sing that song that says, "Make me a blessing. Out of my life may Jesus shine." That's what we're talking about here. But you know, all of us have reasons why we really can't be all that God wants us to be. For almost 50 years now, I've been telling people in my churches that someday I'm going to write a book about the excuses that I've heard from people as to why they can't be and do what God wants them to be and do. A few weeks ago, we sang that song that talked about excuses. Some 50 years ago and 520 miles from here, I had a couple in my church. Now, with it being 50 years ago, I doubt that they're still on the face of the earth. With it being 520 miles away from here, I doubt that you even know the place. So I'll tell you their names, first names anyway, George and Ursula. They were a couple in my very first church. And I went to visit them one day, and it was interesting. George had had surgery. In this surgery, they started cutting back here, and they cut all the way around and ended up way up here by his shoulder somehow. And they had to go in there, and they put in all kinds of mesh and rebar and whatever else they put in those things. I don't know. But then they sewed them all back together again. And any time anything went on at church, George was there doing whatever he could do to help. One day I made the mistake of asking Ursula, his wife, how she was doing. One time I asked her that. Because she started at the top of her head. And she went through every group of tissue and organs and everything else down through, telling me everything that was wrong and how bad she felt, and everything was just falling apart. She had all of these reasons, like so many good church folk often do. Instead of commenting on this at length, let me just share three lives with you here. The first one, perhaps many of you are familiar with, Johnny Erickson Tata. When she was 18 years old, she was swimming with some friends in Chesapeake Bay. She dove off a raft, not realizing how shallow the water was there. And subsequently, she suffered a fracture between the fourth and fifth vertebrae that paralyzed her from the shoulders down. She was a quadriplegic. According to her autobiography, during her 2 years of rehab, she experienced anger, depression, suicidal thoughts, and religious doubts. However, once she got beyond that, she learned to paint with a brush between her teeth. She began selling her artwork. If you haven't seen it, it's beautiful. Now she's written over 48 books, recorded several musical albums, starred in a movie about her life, has been on Larry King Live, and is on the U.S. State Department's Disability Advisory Committee. She's also responsible for sending thousands of wheelchairs all over the globe to enable people who were otherwise unable to have any mobility whatsoever to be able to get around. Person number two, Fanny Crosby. At 6 weeks of age, probably from a congenital birth defect, she became blind. Nevertheless, she grew up to be one of the most prolific hymnists in history. She wrote over 8,000 hymns and gospel songs, with over 100 million of her songs being printed. She was inducted into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame in 1975, 60 years after her death. Some of her best-known songs we have sung here many times: Blessed Assurance, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, Jesus is Tenderly Calling You Home, Praise Him, Rescue the Perishing, and the one we sang just a few minutes ago, To God Be the Glory. Publishers are reluctant to put too many hymns by the same author in their hymnals, so Fanny Crosby wrote her hymns under some 200 different pseudonyms. Wouldn't it be rough to write that many hymns that you have to use pen names to be able to get them published? She wrote over 1,000 secular poems and 4 books of poetry, as well as 2 best-selling autobiographies. Additionally, she co-wrote popular secular songs as well as political and patriotic songs and 5 cantatas on biblical and patriotic themes. She was committed to Christian rescue missions and was well known for her public speaking. She was talking to a minister one time, and the minister said, you know, with all that God has blessed you with, it's a shame that he didn't also bless you with sight. Fanny Crosby said, when I was born, if I had had the choice, I would have chosen to be born blind. The minister was surprised and he said, I don't understand why. She says, because that way, when I finally got to heaven, the first face that I would ever have seen would have been the face of Jesus. What a testimony. Third one that we might look at, Helen Keller. When she was 1.5 years old, she contracted either scarlet fever or meningitis. It left her both deaf and blind. She became the first deaf-blind person to ever receive a bachelor's degree. During the course of her lifetime, she died in 1968. She wrote 12 books and traveled to over 40 countries. Now, I realize she had some philosophies and some political ideas that we might not go along with, but her conceivable disabilities didn't stop her from being all she could be. Now, this morning, what's our excuse for not being a blessing to others, especially in light of these 3? Number 3, we can be thankful for all God does through us. David read verses 4-7 this morning that talked about that. Romans 8:28 says, now we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose for them. Through it all this morning, as we're remembering what we're thankful for, remember that bad things do happen to good people. There was a man who lived on the border of Mongolia. He was gifted with insight. One day, his one horse ran away. The neighbors tried to console him. The man listened to all of their little platitudes, and then finally he said, what makes you think this isn't a blessing? Some months later, the horse returned, accompanied by a splendid stallion. All the neighbors came and rejoiced and said, wasn't it wonderful? Now you have 2 horses. The man said, what makes you so sure this isn't a disaster? Not too long after that, the man's teenage son was trying to break the stallion. He was thrown off the horse and broke his leg. The neighbors all gathered in again and tried to console him. The man said, what makes you so sure this isn't a blessing? Not long after, Mongolian invaders threatened the area, and every able-bodied man was conscripted to serve in the army. He had to go to war. 9 out of 10 of those men never returned home. But because of the son's broken leg, he was spared. Let me share another story here in closing. Not so long ago and not so far away, 18-year-old Jared was out with his friends riding ATVs. For those of you that have never done it, that's an all-terrain vehicle, okay? That's these crazy kids that go up over the... Yeah, you get the idea, okay? While they were riding, his ATV struck a rock and Jared was thrown off. The ATV flipped, landed on top of him, and broke his arm. Surgery was required and they had to put a steel rod in his arm because the bones were so badly shattered. Now, why would this happen to a youth that was a good church member? He was assistant music director for the church. He was active in the youth group. Why in the world would it happen to him? People would say, oh, it was just a freak accident, or it rains on the just and the unjust. But we're left scratching our head. But then, 6 months later, it had been overcast all day. A storm was rapidly moving into the small, rural Arkansas town where Jared lived. Jared was outside, and suddenly there was a bright flash of light and the roar of thunder. Jared was struck by lightning, which could have, should have, would have killed him instantly, except for the fact that the steel rod in his arm redirected the lightning away from his body, and he was spared. Now, in retrospect, we might very easily say that that ATV accident saved his life. We never know. So often when things are going great, we're ready to thank God and praise God, and you know, we can be a Thanksgiving people, but when things start going bad, it all goes south very quickly. We shouldn't be so quick to say, why me? I don't believe for a second that God causes everything to happen. But I do believe very strongly that God can bring good out of anything that may happen. Learn to look around. Learn to watch for the God moments in your life. Let me repeat Romans 8:28 again. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of them who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. It doesn't say that everything that happens will be good, but it says God can bring good out of it. We do not and will not understand a lot of things about life here and now, but the songwriter promised we'll understand it better by and by. In the meantime, let's just praise the Lord. Let's enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Day by day, every day through the year, allow God to show you thousands of ways to complete this sentence. I am thankful for. You fill in the amount. Remember and give thanks. Heavenly Father, this morning, help us that we might learn to be a grateful people. Because we have such a wonderful God, help us, Lord, that not just on the fourth Thursday in Thanksgiving, but every day, we might be thankful for all of your wonderful blessings in our lives. Not only a thankful people, but a people ready to share those blessings. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.